Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A Tuesday now begins on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, especially when we get into college football. And on this Tuesday, June 21st, Joe Lisi, that is what we will do. I believe the official start to summer is tomorrow, which means we are in that summer break for kids off of campus before they get back for summer workouts, gearing up for media days, and then fall camps on the horizon. And as we discussed yesterday, Joe, the markets are moving. The lines are shifting for that opening weekend of the college football campaign in early September, even week zero, the Saturday before that, to end out August. There is so much to discuss in the college football landscape on this Tuesday.
Oh, that's what it's all about, Ben, right? We touched the surface with that game in Dublin on August 27th, excuse me. And then the September 1st games are right behind the corner, right? Right after that, right? We have a great matchup between Utah and Florida. We've seen that line move. I also brought up yesterday to you TCU and Colorado. That's an under-the-radar game with new head coach Sonny Dykes and obviously Carl Durrell in Boulder with the Colorado Buffaloes. That line, depending upon the book, has moved anywhere from 9 on FanDuel. When you look at WinBet, 7.5. So another 1.5 discrepancy. And as the fluctuations happen and money comes on a particular side or books take a stand, this is what it's all about in terms of week zero and week number one for the college football season 2022.
Joe, it's crazy when you're looking at the first 4, 5, 6 games of this college football season where there are early lines out and available right now to bet on. In pretty much every number, we have seen some movement. Even here in the middle to later portion of June within the last week, we have seen movement on this spread. Nebraska now an 11.5-point favorite in that season opener in Dublin against Northwestern. West Virginia and Pittsburgh, the backyard brawl we broke down yesterday, leading us into a discussion about the ACC, has worked more in favor of the Panthers, now nearly a touchdown favorite, laying 6.5. That game's on the opening Thursday night of the college football season, September 1st, as is another Big Ten game between Penn State and Purdue with the Nittany Lions, a 3-point favorite. That line actually has pretty much stuck at a field goal in West Lafayette for right now. But TCU and Colorado, Joe, as you well know, a Friday night standalone game that opening weekend of college football as we welcome in the festivities. The Horned Frogs now a 9-point favorite in a game that we will break down here continuously, featuring a team, Joe, in Utah that we both are pretty high and optimistic on entering the 2022 college football campaign. It's in Gainesville. It's in the Swamp. It's the debut of the Billy Napier era in Gainesville, Florida. And at the time we first looked at this game, Joe, the Gators were laying 2 or 2.5 at home. That line has now flipped past the key number of 0 onto Utah being the favorites on the road. The Utes laying 2 in the Swamp, Joe. Are you surprised to see Utah a road favorite?
No, not at all. I mean, when you just think about physicality, offensive, defensive line play, that's what Kyle Whittingham and that offense have in terms of Utah. The Cam Rising took over for Charlie Brewer last year, reeled off 9 wins at the end of the year, and Tavion Thomas is one of the best running backs in terms of college football. They were able to pound the rock between the tackles on the best team in the Pac-12 last year, Oregon, not once but twice. So when you just look at this game as a whole, yeah, you think SEC, you think physicality, you think athleticism, but Florida's defense took a nosedive under Dan Mullen last year. So yep. Billy Napier, first-year head coach, has an athletic quarterback in Anthony Richardson. But if we're talking physicality in terms of the Pac-12, Utah brings it each and every week. This is going to be a very difficult matchup. And what travels well in SEC environments and in just on the road in general? The ability to run the football and shut down the run, that's what Utah provides, and they deserve to be favored in this matchup.
I think it's a great point, Lisi. When you look at where this game stands, yes, it's in Gainesville. It's in the swamp. If you were going to ask a lot of Pac-12 teams to make that trip to open up a year, you would think it would be heavily skewed to that SEC side, to Florida hosting their season opener. Yet it's a new regime under Billy Napier. We're not exactly sure what we're going to see. Anthony Richardson made a few starts last year under Dan Mullen and provided some excitement in relief of Emory Jones, but we'll see what it looks like in Napier's offensive scheme. Although you could think of what he did at Louisiana Lafayette with Levi Lewis, and you could think Anthony Richardson is going to put up some stats this year. He is 60-1 right now, Joe. Is Anthony Richardson to win the Heisman Trophy? Very long odds, but maybe correlated to the idea, we're not entirely sure how much success Florida is going to have this season. A Gators team, Joe, that you know well, 6-7 last year, losing in their bowl game against a Sunshine State foe in Central Florida, a game that UCF has been clamoring for some time, and they get the better of their in-state rivals. In fact, Florida had one of the worst records against the spread, Joe, in all of college football a season ago. Just 3-10 ATS, not covering by an average margin of 9.9 points per game. Only TCU, Indiana, Temple, and New Mexico had worse ATS records than that of the Florida Gators. But it's a new regime. They're a 2-point home underdog in their season opener against Utah. We'll talk a little Florida in the SEC, and then we'll focus on the Pac-12 with the Utah Utes coming up here next on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle on this Tuesday, June 21st, live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. We're breaking down college football on this Tuesday. And Joe, we were just looking at Utah and Florida. A line for that opening Saturday of the college football season in Gainesville in the swamp that has flipped past zero already. Utah was a 2-point underdog at open. Now the Utes are laying 2. On the road against the Gators. The first game of the Billy Napier era now in Gainesville. Anthony Richardson, a 60-1 price to win the Heisman Trophy, will be Napier's quarterback. But Joe, as we finished with, 4-6-7 a season ago. Not necessarily the standard of what you normally look for the Florida Gators football program. Of course, leading to the firing of Dan Mullen and now a new head coach in Billy Napier. Their win total, Joe, is 6.5. The over has the heavy juice at minus 170. What is your outlook like for Florida this upcoming season?
Yeah, the one thing about Florida for me is the physicality on defense. They were abused in a number of games last year, Ben. I just didn't see that. Now, can Napier turn it around in year one? He can. But is he going to elevate this team, like you mentioned, 6-7 to all of a sudden 9-10 wins? I'm not so sure. He's going to weed out the players that fit the scheme, don't fit the scheme offensively and defensively. And we know the strengths of Anthony Richardson. When he tucks it and runs, he's one of the most lethal runners in terms of college football. Go back back to that game against South Florida where he busted an 80-yard run, right? The difference in why they had to utilize two quarterbacks last year with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson is that Jones was a little bit of a better passer, more comfortable in the scheme in Dan Mullen's system. Now Richardson is going to be given the keys to the bus, but let's look at Billy Napier in terms of UL Lafayette, a more balanced offense, right? He had running back Elijah Mitchell, Levi Lewis. They like to run it. They like to work off of play action. So that transition, I think this year, that's where you get some growing pains, right? He struggled a little bit when he was forced in the pocket, but if he can get it, get used to the system early, they could put up some numbers, but I'm not willing to say 8 or 9 wins in year one. I'm going to say this is a 6-6 football team this year. Year two, year through three is where they have some strides. I still have them behind Tennessee, believe it or not, this year with Josh Heupel.
It'll be interesting to see how that SEC East plays out. Of course, Georgia, the top dogs, and rightfully so. But there are some teams there, Joe, in that East division that normally would you look to compete with the likes of Georgia. When you would look at teams like Florida, of course, they will play in the cocktail party against UGA this upcoming year. But there's a reason the dogs, the reigning national champs, are minus 550 to win this division once again. Kentucky is 12-1. Tennessee is 14-1. Florida behind that with the fourth best odds at 16-1. This seems to be a landslide victory already, Joe, on Tuesday, June 21st for the Dogs. Do you think any of those teams, you have Florida behind Tennessee, but maybe the Cats in Lexington or maybe Hendon Hooker, Josh Heupel, and that explosive Tennessee offense can catch Georgia at the top of the SEC East?
Yeah, I think if there's one team to do it, I think it is Tennessee. Now, I still have Georgia winning the East, but again, that's not really saying that much, right? We're not comparing the SEC East to the West, and it's not even close at this point. Right. But there's more competitive teams. Will Levis and Chris Rodriguez come back. I still can't believe that a lot of experts have Will Levis as a top five quarterback in this NFL draft. I'm shocked in terms of top five if he goes, but we'll talk about that as the season progresses. I think that from a tempo perspective, Hendon Hooker, what he was able to do last year in year number one, taking over for Joe Milton, 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The tempo of Josh Heupel's offense can potentially wear down Georgia. When they played that game last year, Hendon Hooker was able to move the football between the 30s. They just couldn't convert in terms of red zone opportunities or inside the 30-yard line, and that's why Georgia ran away with that. If they were able to convert, maybe it would have been a little bit tighter with the Dogs not running away and covering that number. So we have to see. Obviously, playing in Sanford Stadium is very difficult, but I give the advantage out of all those teams, Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, and even Florida, to Tennessee to potentially upset the Dogs on the road in that matchup in Athens.
Tennessee, the 7th best scoring offense in the country last year, averaging nearly 38 points per game, averaging 50 over their final 3 games. Of course, a lot of that in the Music City Bowl against Purdue, that was an absolute shootout, but that is the potential, you would think, at least explosive-wise offensively, Joe, for Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker. However, we can start to correlate a little bit of these markets, right? Because we've talked a few Heisman odds available already. 60-1 on Anthony Richardson. If the Gators are going to have an upstart year in year number one of Billy Napier and make a run, that presents a lot of value because you need to correlate most likely Heisman Trophy odds to team success. Lamar Jackson is really the only person in the last decade that was so statistically phenomenal that his Louisville team wasn't all that great. Lamar was still able to win the Heisman Trophy. Anthony Richardson potentially has that type of statistical performance in his future. But if you're looking for Kentucky, Will Levis, 100-1. If he is going to be a top pick in the draft, Joe, you would think 100-1, not only his number, but Kentucky at 12-1 would make some sense in the SEC East. You mentioned a guy like Hendon Hooker for Tennessee. His odds right now, 60-1, right alongside Anthony Richardson, tied for the same price to win the Heisman Trophy. Of course, the favorites are much shorter when you have C.J. Stroud at plus 200, Bryce Young at plus 400, and Caleb Williams at plus 850. Those are the top three odds, the only three quarterbacks, the only three players that have odds in the triple digits. So as we continue to look around the SEC, look at what Florida might do, a win total of 6.5, the over heavily juiced, a 3-10 team against the spread a year ago that only won 6 games. We'll see how much improvement Billy Napier can bring in Gainesville. I mentioned the name Caleb Williams, Joe. He's plus 850. The third best price to win this year's Heisman Trophy, only behind the reigning Heisman winner in Bryce Young, who is plus 400 with the second best price, and C.J. Stroud, the quarterback out of Ohio State, who is the favorite right now at 2-1. It is not surprising by any means to see Caleb Williams at plus 850. What we are discussing now is all of this offseason optimism and the potential hope of USC football in 2022. That is why Caleb Williams has the third best price to win the Heisman Trophy. That is why when you look at the conference odds in the Pac-12, USC is now the favorite after the Pac-12 scrap divisions at plus 150. And when you look at the national championships odds, Joe Lisi, USC tied alongside Texas A&M for the fifth best price in the entire country, 25-1. Yes, Lincoln Riley is now the head coach. Yes, he has completely revamped this roster, allowing USC to have the best transfer portal rankings out of anybody in the 2022 class entering this college football season. But this was a 4-win football team last year, Joe Lisi. And now you're going to tell me they're the favorites to win the Pac-12 and they have the fifth best price to win the national championship? I am not buying it.
No, I'm not buying it either. But the 35-point favorites week one against Rice, so that, you know, they're going to come out swinging in terms of this offense, right? Jordan Addison and the ability now with Travis Dye running the football from Oregon, they're going to be explosive. We know they're going to put up points. But we talked about it throughout the offseason. They lost as an 11.5-point favorite to Jonathan Smith and Oregon State, a 17.5-point home favorite to David Shaw and a 3-9 Stanford team. That was the marquee win on Stanford's schedule last year. They ran all over Clay Helton's face in that ballgame. I mean, come on now. We know that Lincoln Riley can coach the offense. The concern and question marks throughout his tenure in Norman was the defensive side of the ball. Alex Grinch couldn't do it. Now can he do it with the defensive side with the Trojans? I'm not so sure, Ben. I think they're 8-4, 9-3 tops.
They were near a bottom 30 defense in all of college football last year from that scoring defensive perspective, giving up nearly 32 points per game. A lot of the impact transfers we have highlighted on that offensive side of the ball. Caleb Williams, a quarterback. Travis Dye, a running back. And, of course, Jordan Addison, the big play wide receiver. The Biletnikoff winner for the best wideout in the country last year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Right back here on Football Full Circle on this Tuesday, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens, alongside the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisi, as we continue to run through college football and some of those changing odds we will see early on in the first couple of weeks of the college football season. Joe, the focus is on USC, and maybe the Pac-12 is a conversation at large here, because when you look at USC, you mentioned they're a 35-point, 5-touchdown favorite their opening game of the year against Rice. When you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, that next week is USC's Pac-12 opener on the road in Palo Alto against Stanford. They're an 11.5-point favorite. Okay, so we continue to run through. Then we get to the middle of October. USC on the road in Salt Lake against the Utes, a 3-point underdog. That game will be vitally important for the Pac-12 championship. In the middle of October in Salt Lake, Utah, a home favorite, laying 3 points against USC. Joe, in my mind, we might see that matchup not once, but twice this year, potentially again in the Pac-12 championship game. And in that matchup, maybe like on October 15th on that Saturday, I think Utah wins. I think Utah wins the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, I do too. And I think they're the only team that has the most complete, in my mind, offense and defensive lines. Now, if we're talking big picture, Ben, I love Cam Rising. I love Kyle Winningham in a big spot, especially when he's catching points, right? Look at that ball game against one of the most explosive offenses in college football. They went toe-to-toe with the Ohio State Buckeyes and two of the best wide receivers in the game in the Rose Bowl and lost that ball game by three, right? So from a confidence perspective, they got to be saying to themselves, we beat the crap out of Oregon not once but twice. We're the best kids on the block. Forget Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley. We could punch USC in the mouth and get it done. Now, USC dominates Utah in the Coliseum. Utah dominates, for the most part, USC in Salt Lake City, although last time Keaton Slovis and the Trojans were there, they covered as a 3-point favorite. I still like Utah to run the football on USC. I think they win that ball game, but I'll throw another dark horse potentially in the midst. And I've been heavy on him throughout his tenure in terms of UCLA, but Chip Kelly turned the corner last year at 8-4. I'm picking them to win the Pac-12 this year at 12-1 along with Utah. So Utah's my front runner, but I like UCLA to potentially be right there on the outside looking in when these teams play.
And again, USC is plus 140 right now to win the Pac-12. They are the favorites to do so. Oregon has the second best odds at 3-1, and then Utah at 4-1, UCLA 12-1. I think Oregon, Joe, got that bump when they were playing in the Pac-12 North because they had an easier path than the Pac-12 South that has the likes of USC, Utah, UCLA, maybe even Arizona State if Herm Edwards is still the coach midway through this college football season. But now that it's just the two best teams in the conference based on win percentage, now that divisions have been scrapped, I don't know if Oregon should have the second best price at 3-1. That's where I love the Utah Utes, and they are plus 400 right now. But let's take it a step further, Joe. Their team win total for Utah is 8.5, a team that won 9 games last year in the regular season, including a Pac-12 title at the end of the year when all was said and done. That was actually their 10th win of the year. Utah started last year, Joe, just 1-2 straight up in their first 3 weeks, 0-4 against the spread through their first 4 weeks, but then won 8 of their last 9 games in the regular season, only a weird upset loss against Oregon State, and they covered in 6 of those 8 wins, once as an underdog against USC, and the only 2 times they did not cover, Joe, they were booked as 24-point favorites, and they won both of those games by at least multiple scores. Optimism, again, for Cam Rising and Kyle Whittingham this upcoming year in Utah. And I will take it one step further. Kyle Whittingham has built a program of sustainable success in Salt Lake. It doesn't take the biggest expert in the world to see that if you know what you're talking about in college football. Their team win total, Joe, again, is 8.5. The over has a slight bit more juice at minus 115. And that 8.5 number, including last season, is a number Utah has gone over in 6 of the last 7 years. I like that track record that Kyle Whittingham has produced. So even if you don't think Utah can win you a Pac-12 championship, it might be one of my favorite win totals in all of the country this year in college football. Utah over 8.5 wins.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. If they get through this schedule, Ben, and let's say they are 11-1 and a Pac-12 champion, I think they're a legitimate contender for the college football playoff because there are very good opponents on their schedule, not just Florida, okay? Not just the usual suspects like USC. You have an out-of-conference game with San Diego State, a very physical Brady Hoke type of team. I want to say a lighter version of Utah, right? A team that likes to run the football, plays solid run defense, doesn't allow big plays over the top. That's what San Diego State is, and they go to Rice-Eccles on September 17th. So that's not going to be an easy game for Utah, although they should be able to win that ball game, right? Then they go on the road to Arizona State. They're on the road to UCLA. These are tough environments. Should they get through that and navigate through that, we're only, let's say, one loss and a Pac-12 championship. How could you say no to Kyle Whittingham after they went toe-to-toe with one of the most explosive offenses in the Rose Bowl? So they're going to have an argument. Can they get through it? I think they definitely get over 8.5. Now, winning the Pac-12 is not going to be easy. We know that because when the bullseye's on your back, it's a lot different than when you're playing from an underdog role. But I like Thomas, and I like Cam Rising, and I like that front seven. So I'm with you on the over here.
Utah has five lines posted for this upcoming 2022 college football season right now, live on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They are favored in four of those five. The only game they are an underdog as of right now is that second to last week of the year, Joe, on the road in Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon, against the Ducks. They are getting 3 points, is Utah in that scenario. But other than that, they are favored in everyone, including that season opener against Florida, including the game against USC, and even on the road laying a field goal against UCLA. You're right, Joe. Utah's schedule is a gauntlet. San Diego State, if we want to talk physicality, the fourth best rushing defense in the country a season ago. The Aztecs lived by their ability to stop the run and bring games to an under at all times. Utah, the 21st best rushing defense in the country a season ago, allowing just over 126 yards per game to their opponent on the ground. But Joe, when you look at this success expected for Utah, and you look at the fact they're favored in four of their five biggest games of the year, and yes, there are a ton of difficult ones on the road at UCLA, on the road at Arizona State, on the road at Washington State, on the road at Oregon, some of their biggest Pac-12 competition, that's difficult. But two games that they have at home against USC and against Stanford, especially that game against the Trojans in the middle of October, I think is going to prove huge for Kyle Whittingham and company. I really like where Utah stands right now, Joe. So I go over 8.5, and I love the plus 400 of value on Utah in the Pac-12. But I'll make the opposite point here, Joe, for USC, whose team win total is 9.5, and the over has the juice at minus 160. Again, it has been a completely revamped roster. Completely revamped. I understand what Lincoln Riley has built. I understand how successful a head coach Lincoln Riley is. But to expect a 4-8 football team, both straight up and against the spread, and a lot of times, Joe, if you see a team that was good against the number, competitive in football games, even if their overall record was lackluster, you expect that competitive close game to turn into a win and not just a cover the next year. But USC was 4-8 against the spread. This is a number of 9.5. that USC has not gone over since the 2017 football season. I know Agreed. It's a different regime. I know it's a different roster. But that's a lot of juice on the over at minus 160 for the Trojans to get to 10 wins.
Yeah, it is. And the biggest concern for USC, Ben, is they can't stop the run. When you can't stop the run, that's a big concern in terms of the next level, in terms of winning a division title, because teams can just run down your throat. They maintain time of possession. They keep your explosive offense on the sidelines. That's what Oregon State did. That's what Stanford did. And when you look at some of the other teams that like to run the football in the conference, it's not going to be easy. Let's not forget, they lost to their crosstown rival UCLA by 29 points. They got boat raced in that ball game. Do we really think that Lincoln Riley's just all of a sudden going to do a complete 360? I just don't see how that's going to happen in year number one, especially with Alex Grinch. Now, Grinch did coach at Washington State. That's a benefit from understanding the landscape and environment, but it's not a one-year fix. This defense was atrocious, and they potentially lost their best player, or Drake Jackson, to the NFL. So it's a complete rebuild.
To echo Lisi's point, USC ranked 81st. Again, there's 131 FBS college football teams that play at that level. 131. So when you're 81st out of 131, it's not very good. It is in the bottom half for sure, in the bottom 50 of college football teams. USC was 81st in rushing defense last year, giving up, Joe, nearly 168 yards per game on the ground. And that includes their regular season finale when they only gave up 88, certainly taking that average into account. I don't know. I'm going to have to believe it to see it, or see it to believe it, I should say, for the Trojans, because I'm not buying in the offseason hype, Lizzy. And I think they will be, the Trojans, that is, the team I look to fade early and often throughout the college football season. Maybe Lincoln Riley proves me wrong, makes me shut my own words back into my mouth. But as of right now, it's all Utah in the Pac-12 for me. USC might be the favorite, but I love the value on the Utes at 4-1. We come back next year on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We have spent most of this Tuesday edition of Football Full Circle focused on college football. A great discussion of all things SEC, SEC East, and even the Pac-12. You know how Joe Lisi and myself, Ben Stevens, feel about the Utah Utes and maybe some of that other value in the Pac-12 as well. As we, at least to begin the year, look to fade USC, we'll see what Lincoln Riley can do in year number one in Southern California with the Trojans. Also, a bit of news there, Joe. They are going to let Jordan Addison, their big-time transfer, land at the wide receiver position, and the Biletnikoff Award winner from last year, the best wide receiver in the country in college football, don the number 3 this upcoming year for the Trojans. It is a number that lives with a lot of luster in USC football. Carson Palmer, the last to wear it. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. Keyshawn Johnson wore number 3 before that. Nobody has worn it since. But Jordan Addison gets number 3 again, Joe Lisi. Is that a good sign for the Trojans?
Yeah, it's good if you're back in tradition. I could tell you when Carson Palmer had that Heisman Trophy campaign, week number 1, I think, or week number 2, they opened against Oregon. I was working for ABC with Mike Williams, had a huge day in Outson Stadium. Yeah. They covered that line. They were a 1-point dog in that ball game, and they won that ball game convincingly for Pete Carroll and the crew. So I think it's great. You know, it's almost like the LSU don in the number 18, right? It brings the fan base in. It makes the players excited. It's an honor to wear a number that has been donned by some of the great players like Keyshawn and Carson Palmer. Now they hope that Jordan Addison can continue that tradition as maybe even a dark horse to potentially be a Heisman Trophy candidate, right? We saw Devontae Smith win it a couple of years ago. Who's to say Jordan Addison, if he doesn't catch 25 touchdown passes against mediocre Pac-12 defenses, that maybe he can't steal the Heisman, Ben?
Yeah, it would be difficult just at times, Joe, when you have a wide receiver, even if they put up really gaudy numbers, if their quarterback is Caleb Williams and also catching some of the shine, and Caleb Williams right now is plus 850. We did see Devontae Smith, of course, win the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago for Alabama, and Mac Jones was a finalist as well, but Devontae Smith also added a little bit of that in the return game. We'll see exactly what Jordan Addison has this upcoming year. So that's the focus right now for college football. Now we flip our attention on football full circle to the NFL. Some news in the last half an hour or so, Joe Lisi, regarding Deshaun Watson. In the ever-changing and evolving legal standing that Deshaun Watson finds himself off the field, there has been an update today. Tony Busby, who is representing a lot of the women, all 24 in fact, that have filed a civil lawsuit at the moment against Deshaun Watson for improper sexual conduct during massage therapy sessions. 20 of those 24, Joe, those civil lawsuits have now been settled for an undisclosed agreement amount. So Tony Busby saying today that 20 of the 24 civil lawsuits have been settled. There are still 4 outstanding against Deshaun Watson. What does this latest update mean, Joe?
I don't think it means much. It's still big picture. He's going to be suspended for a period of time. And, you know, what's even more, I want to say, ironic is, yeah, 20 of the 24, there's another 2 out there lurking that we definitely know about, 25 and potentially number 26. So once you get to 20 out of 24, then all of a sudden 25, 26, now you're chasing, it could be potentially 30 by the time week number 1 comes around. So at the end of the day, this does not change my assessment of the Cleveland Browns. Right now, I would not recommend anybody betting on them in terms of division title, make playoffs, anything at this matter, because at the end of the day, if the NFL doesn't take a stand and at least suspend him from 8 to 10 games, at least, Ben, right? If not the season, they're gonna have such a pushback from everyone, including, you know, people at the stadiums. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be a negative criticism that the NFL doesn't want to deal with.
Absolutely so. And that's the on-the-field implications for what Deshaun Watson will have to deal with based on the NFL's personal conduct policy. We know that the NFL is recommending a lengthy suspension for Deshaun Watson. Now, here's the idea. Two criminal charges, two criminal cases against Deshaun Watson were not found to have any, or were dismissed, I should say, earlier in this offseason in the state of Texas, which then led to the civil lawsuits, and that being the attention. There was a lot, Joe, at least in the legal standing of it all, in the legal process of it all, that expected, at least early on, for Deshaun Watson to settle a lot of these civil lawsuits. However, Deshaun Watson and his legal team were brazen in their idea of inserting that Deshaun Watson did not have any wrongdoing at all throughout these processes. Obviously, money gets involved, which leads to the settlement of these civil lawsuits. That is how this process is handled. It is not surprising to see this happen. But four more are still outstanding. It is a ridiculous thing, Joe, to say 20 of 24 have been settled and there are still four active civil lawsuits. One active civil lawsuit is far too many. 24 is way far too many. And now that 20 have been settled, according to Tony Busby, the lawyer representing these 24 women, four still to go. Lisi, this process is not over by any means, and there will still be ramifications to be felt.
Absolutely. And think about this. If there are other women that are out there that are maybe potentially, you know, stressing and not sure, well, when you start to settle, that might give them more of a reason to put in a lawsuit at that particular time, right? Because then all of a sudden they can come forward. And again, at the end of the day, the acts are atrocious. The fact that they settled this up until this point shows wrongdoing to a degree, right? I mean, right. Or you just want to get on with your career. Either way, it's callous, right? So you can't overlook this situation and say, oh yeah, right, this is the end of the road, because we could be dealing with this 2 years down the road, Ben. Another lawsuit could come down 2 years down the road, for that matter, that we don't know about. I mean, it's just terrible. And at minus 195, you're telling me this is a 10-win football team if they have to deal with all the negative criticism throughout the year? I mean, it's ridiculous at this point.
Absolutely so. And that's where the NFL futures market, as it pertains to the Cleveland Browns, makes absolutely no sense to me. But we'll get to that in just a matter of moments, because Lisi brings up a great point. When you settle something, it clears your name to an extent. You can't get mad at people, or you can't legally enforce anything based on implications in a civil lawsuit. But once you settle, that lawsuit has now been put to bed. There are still four more outstanding, obviously, against Deshaun Watson that continue to say that Deshaun Watson acted in an inappropriate manner when getting massage therapy sessions. There's, of course, the New York Times report that contradicts a lot of what Watson and his legal team have tried to maintain throughout this process, that in fact he had 66 women in different massage therapy sessions over a 17-month span. So that all goes into this. And at the end of the day, whatever is decided in the legal system, the NFL has also been doing their own independent investigation based on their conduct policy, their personal conduct policy, which is outside of the legal ramifications of this all, in representing their brand, in representing one of their organizations as a quarterback of that team. I don't think anything we are seeing happen today, Joe, lessens that suspension the NFL is going to recommend, and that then has to go through the arbitration process. I still believe we are talking at least half the season, 8 to 10 games, and Deshaun Watson will not suit up at least probably until November, Joe, by my estimation, for the Cleveland Browns. So then we tie that back to where the odds currently stand. And the idea, finally, that Cleveland moved back in the AFC North market makes some sense, although they have moved up, it seems, at least in the last 2 weeks, Joe, to plus 250 now from plus 270. That's where they stood after a lot, just about 2 weeks ago, when the Baltimore Ravens moved up to the favorites at plus 160. We also discussed this on the morning after today, Joe. The Cleveland Browns are minus 210 to make the postseason. The Cleveland Browns have the same odds to make the playoffs as the Kansas City Chiefs as the Kansas City Chiefs, Joe Lisi, is where the Cleveland Browns stand right now. That is one of the most ridiculous prices I can remember seeing in quite some time.
It really is. And without Baker Mayfield at the helm, you're going to buy into Jacoby Brissett as leading this team to potentially 10 wins or beyond and outduel Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and even Mitch Trubisky in the division. Explain how that's possible. I know the defense is good with Myles Garrett, but at the end of the day, you have to move the football. They can't just rely on a ground and pound attacker, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, to carry this team. At some point, you have to challenge defenses over the top, and you're buying into Jacoby Brissett to do that. I mean, come on now. I mean, we have to look at this realistically and say, and I'm a Dolphin fan, Jacoby Brissett sucked last year, okay? Didn't even throw for 135 yards against the Indianapolis Colts. And now this quarterback is going to lead this team to a division title or a wild card appearance? Absolutely not. I'm sorry. Defense, yes, good, but there's not enough from the offensive side of the ball with Jacoby Brissett at the helm to lead this team. And the, you know what? As the season inches closer, they say it's not a distraction. It'll be a distraction when they have to answer multiple questions about Deshaun Watson each and every week.
They already have throughout mandatory minicamp. They already have had to speak on behalf of a quarterback they have never really played for, Joe. Yes, he is their teammate now, and in fact, you could say when you're the quarterback that you pay five-year deal worth of $230 million guaranteed, despite what is happening against Deshaun Watson right now or off the field, you still expect him to be the face of your franchise. They have had to answer those questions. They will continue to answer those questions, will his Cleveland Brown teammates. Any way that you want to bet Cleveland right now, I advise against it, because minus 210, plus 250, whatever it is, those are regular season odds. Minus 210 to make the playoffs is a regular season record. If your quarterback is not going to be there for 8 or 10 of the 18 games, you're not making the playoffs, especially not in the competitive AFC within your own division in the AFC North that is going to be a gauntlet as well. And Joe, this tweet coming from NFL Network's Cameron Wolf just 11 minutes ago, the NFL statement on Deshaun Watson, quote, "Today's development has no impact on the collectively bargained disciplinary process." So this settlement was probably something they knew was going to come, the settlement of 20 of the 24 civil lawsuits with four more still outstanding. It does not affect what they have done in this disciplinary process. Thus, you can still expect a lengthy suspension coming to Deshaun Watson, Joe. And that's the latest update we have.
Yeah, do not bet Cleveland Browns on anything right now. The amount of uncertainty outweighs any type of money that you can win. The risk reward is not there to just jump in preseason like this. I just don't know. I would be shocked to know how much money has already been bet on the Cleveland Browns by multiple books throughout New Jersey and Nevada at this point. That's the number I want to know right now.
Yeah. It would be fascinating to hear, because the Cleveland Browns, even before Deshaun Watson got to Cleveland, have been a publicly liked team, at least through a lot of the off seasons, even with Baker Mayfield, especially after the 2020 NFL season when they reached the postseason. They're still 10-1, the fifth best price to win the AFC championship. I wouldn't even bet that, although it's a postseason award. We'll finish up with some more thoughts about the Cleveland Browns and their offseason odds coming up next here on Football Full Circle. Stay with us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle for just a couple more minutes here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. Ben Stevens, Joe Lisi here with you on this Tuesday, and further updates to Deshaun Watson's legal situation off the field. As we have discussed, Joe Lisi, 20 of the 24 civil lawsuits have been settled. Tony Busby, the attorney representing these women, confirmed that today. Confidential agreements of 20 of the 24 cases now settle from a civil lawsuit perspective. Four more outstanding, and Tony Busby also mentioning in that statement earlier today, Joe, he expects to try those cases in due time. So what does all this mean for the NFL's disciplinary process of Deshaun Watson? According to NFL statement today, Joe, today's development has no impact on the collectively bargained disciplinary process as it relates to Deshaun Watson. So we can still expect a lengthy suspension on the way. And Joe, we have been saying how because of all of that, as we bring this back to the odds, you cannot bet the Cleveland Browns for anything in the regular season. And one thing that still stands out to me, Joe, and it makes sense as to why it does, the Browns still don't have a win total up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So how are you going to bet them to make the playoffs or win the AFC North if you don't even know how many wins they're expected to have this year?
Yeah, great. Guaranteed. You're absolutely right, 100%. I don't know what's the upside when you make these bets. You it's always about risk reward. You limit the downside for potential upside, right? If you're betting Cleveland to be a 10-win football team at -195, what's the upside of that? Is there a guarantee that they're going to be 10-7, 11-1, 11-6? Absolutely not. And you're laying out 2-1 to do that. No, right. There's no upside to bet Cleveland right now.
Even +250 to win the AFC North, a plus money price, is not worth it because, again, that is a regular season price. That is a regular season number, and you have to compete against the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, that does it for this Tuesday on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We're back tomorrow, but the Money Line is up next on Sports Grid Radio.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.